Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful day to be in the house of God, isn't it? God is good all the time. Amen. And I'd just like to thank the singers and musicians for preparing such a great platform this morning. It's wonderful when the platform's prepared and we sing such vital, wonderful songs and we sing them to the Lord. And this morning before I start, I just want to say on behalf of my husband and I thank you, Joshua, Mama and Karen and all of the youth for the wonderful blessing that was given to us a couple of weeks ago when we were honoured on the day of Thanksgiving. It means so much to us. We really bless you and we treasure the words that not only were said on the screen but have written on the card. We've got the card in a prominent place at home and my grandchildren just said, wow, they thought it was just wonderful. But we do thank you very much and we enjoyed a luscious brunch at the cafe and it was lovely to catch up with Frank Corbino. So we really thank you for that and bless your hearts for that. And as we bless others, we're blessed ourselves and we bless you. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for your opportunity that you've given me this morning to come, Lord, and speak your word, Father. And I believe, Lord God, this is a word in time because you've laid it on my heart. And I just pray, Father, that you would bless the words that come from my mouth, that they would be your words, Father, that your spirit would take them and minister them to each of our hearts, Lord. For we each need to be growing more firmly and strongly in you. But more importantly, we need to know who you are and where we stand in you. And so I just give this time to you now and ask you to bless the words in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this word was sown in Tasmania. When John and I were there, we sat down one evening and put on the television. It was a pretty cold, bleak sort of a night. So we stayed in and decided to watch a bit of television. And I'd heard about this show, but I'd never seen it before. And it's a show where TV personalities, and you've probably seen it, and other identities, they have one in America and one in Australia, and they go out looking for their heritage. They go out looking for family members and people that go way back, and it's called Who Do You Think You Are? And they spend a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of effort looking to find their identity. And the thing is that many of them find good things, but lots of them find sad things along the way. There's a lot of disappointments and some big surprises as they look into their family closets. And we can be the same. And I know that for many years in my young life, I spent a lot of time, wasted time and a lot of emotion trying to search and find out who my real father was, thinking that if I found out, that would make something special in my life. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with looking back into your ancestry and having a look and seeing where we come from. And it can be exciting, particularly if you've been born in Australia but your family come from another country. And yes, it would be nice to have it really settled where my belongings were. But it isn't as important as knowing who we are in Christ. Those things will never give us our true identity. And yet so many people are focused on those sort of things and we waste a lot of time and effort in trying to find things that are going to bring us security and to bring us peace. And those things don't really bring anything. And so this morning, I don't want to ask you, who do you think you are? But I want to ask you, do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? It's important to know who you are in Christ because if you don't, then you won't reign with him and you won't know the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Our theme for the year is Heaven Invades and we want heaven to invade this earth. We want heaven to invade our community, our families, the people around us. We want to bring the truth to everyone that we know and love. And what does it mean to identify with Christ? It's normal for us to have other things that we look and feelings about our identity. In our everyday life, we identify with different people, organisations, with our occupation, our nationality, our church. But more important, we need to identify with the spirit, in the spirit realm. And if we don't know our identity in Christ, we won't know how to enter into the spirit realm. You may say to me, well, Pat, I've heard this message before. And yes, you have. Several months ago, our senior pastor spoke a very powerful word about us in Christ and Christ in us. And it was very, very powerful. But I want to ask you this morning, do you fully acknowledge that? Do you fully understand that? Are you fully living that? Now, many of you will, but some of you won't. Some of you may not have been here. Some of you may have listened. And, you know, it's one thing to acknowledge God. It's another thing even to become a Christian. But some people just stay there. They don't go any further. And we know, as we heard in communion, it's about coming to the cross and about the wonderful work of redemption that Jesus did on the cross. But you see, God's calling us to go through the cross, to walk on in the power of the Spirit, of His Spirit that has been left for us. It says in Ephesians 2:4-7, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and added, I add, by grace you have been saved. And He's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ." And so, according to this passage, we are seated with Christ. Do you know that? Do you acknowledge that? Are you aware of that? That you are seated with Christ in heavenly places? That we are no longer conformed and part of this world, but we've been lifted to a higher realm. There are many who don't know that they're seated in Christ. There are many that don't understand what it really means, and yet it's all in our word. And each week we hear the word powerfully preached from this platform. And yet as I move around and I see many people, it comes clear that many do not fully understand what it means to have their identity in Christ and not in other things, but to know His power and His grace outworking and living in your life. You belong to God. You're His own. We're handpicked by Him. You are a royal priesthood, a holy generation. There are many today who know Christ but still live as servants, and we've been raised as sons and daughters. Sons and daughters inherit the kingdom and everything in the kingdom. And I know that the Lord wants you. And I know that, as I said, I spent many years, but one day or one evening at the age of 17, I met this Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as my Saviour. And I learned what it meant to be in Christ. And then I learned about Christ in me and me in Christ as I journeyed on this walk of Christianity. We accept God and we know Him. We resist the pattern of the world and we are transformed by our mind. The real you is found in Christ, and we need to look harder. We need to say, who am I really? What are you letting determine your identity? Which voice are you listening to the most? And often people will listen to the voice that's loudest because it sounds more authoritative. But you see, Jesus comes in a still, the Spirit comes in a still small voice. And if you're not aware of Him and you don't know Him, you won't hear it. It's about spending time in the Word, and it's about waiting and listening. Are you experiencing relentless love and good for your life? In what way is the Father calling you to remember who you are and to know this great freedom? There is great freedom in Christ. There's freedom in knowing who you are. You know, we go through many things in life, and things, as Pastor Chris brought that powerful word this morning, things come to try and knock us down. But when we know who we are in Christ, it doesn't mean these things don't hurt us, but we stand strong. As we sang that song about the waves and walking above the water. So who are you really? In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness." Let us. And there we have the Trinity, God the Father, who sent the Son, who empowers us by the Spirit. In our image, after his likeness. And I want you to see this morning that your identity language. Who you are, God says, I've made you in my image. I've made you to image me, to reflect my glory. I've made you to mirror me. If we don't know who we are in Christ, our mirror is blank. Our reflection is empty because we are nothing of ourselves. We can't mirror anything but our own brokenness, our own brokenness. If we don't grasp the truth of the word, we float around with ideas that we are ultimate sometimes, or we're puffed up that we're great in our own sight, or worse still, there is nothing about us that is any good. We are just a human nature that just exists. Your identity is not achieved or received. It's something, not something you do. It's something that God has already done. It's not what you earn, it's what he gives. And equally clear is that you're not more valuable than anybody else, and you are not less valuable than anybody else. God has placed us in a position that is only ours, that is only ours, and no one can have that place. By his will, it means not by obligation, but his will. How powerful is it that God wanted you? Many of us hope that God made us because he needed us. But no, he chose you because he wanted you. He chose you because he wanted you. In Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, it says, and when you have believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. If you don't know your identity in Christ, if you're not secure in that, you will never understand the working of the Holy Spirit. You will never know his power at work within you. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he's promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. When Paul states that the Holy Spirit was given to us as a pledge for our inheritance, the word pledge simply means as a part of a purchase price in advance. Paul's point is here that the Holy Spirit was given to us as a down payment for the full inheritance that will be received when we finally go to heaven. But if we don't know who we are in Christ, we won't really have the hope of glory or the hope of heaven. And you see, that hope is not for later, it's for now. We are being prepared every day for heaven. Who we are here is who will be there, and we need to be our best. Our identity as followers of Jesus is basic to our spiritual blessing because we have obtained an inheritance according to his plan for his glory, and we have the Holy Spirit to show us that. And so today, if you're a follower of Jesus and you are living day by day in the light of his blessings, then you are already blessed as a result of your relationship in Christ. And many of you here will say to me, I know who I am. But some are not sure. Some are not sure. You know, some time ago a lady came to see me. She came and she said, a lady in her late 40s, and she said to me, look, I don't really know why I'm here, but I felt really confused the other day, and someone said that I should come and talk to someone, and they suggested you. So as we talked, it unravelled that she'd had a very happy home life, loving parents. She was happily married with children, loving children. They were financially stable. She had everything. But inside, she had this gnawing, and it had been going on for about a year. It didn't matter what she did. She painted the house, she did things up, she bought new clothes, she went on a holiday with her husband, lots of things that she did, but nothing ever centred this gnawing, and she couldn't understand what it was. And the only thing, as we travelled along and talked, that really, I believe, started this was she met this other person, this other lady, who she was introduced to, And she was absolutely taken by the beautiful smile and the quietness of this lady. But as she talked to her and talked to friends, she found out that this lady had had a very rough life. And yes, she was married, and her and her husband got on very well, but they had a lot of financial difficulty and a lot of health problems. And she started to think about the comparison of her life and this lady's, and that she had this gnawing and this woman seemed to have this peace. And so over the time and the weeks, I had the joy of bringing this lady to receive Christ as her saviour. And she's gone on in her walk and continuing to show that evidence to her husband and family. You see, God was calling her to understand that her identity was not in her family, it was not in her clothes and her money, but it was a need for Jesus Christ. Only he could satisfy her. As I said, our theme is about liberating lives and creating change. And God wants to liberate your life, and he wants to bring change into your life. Change, the power of the Spirit. That we won't just sit and be spectators, but we'll be partakers. That we'll be all that God has meant us to be. Jesus offers us our identity and our freedom and our liberty. He offers us everything. A lot of people sit around and say, well, I've become a Christian now, I'll let Jesus do it. No, he's already done it. He's given you everything. It's up to you now to take up what he's given you and use it, and to move in, as I said, into the Spirit of God and allow him to lead and direct you. Living the power of the Spirit on an everyday basis doesn't have to be a mysterious experience. We need to experience him every day. We need to go before God and humble ourselves and obey the Spirit and make a habit of hearing him, of speaking to him, of yielding to him. Through the storms of life, the challenges of faith, the only way we can remain faithful to Christ and his work is by the power of the Spirit. I had a dream only this week, which I believe confirmed this word, and I was walking with a lot of people in what I'd call a paddock, a very green paddock, and we were happily chatting, walking along, and as we did, we came to this, there was a further on, there are other wonderful lush paddocks, but we came to this strip. It was a white strip, and I can just explain it. It looked like salt, which was interesting. And it wasn't that terribly wide, but you just couldn't step over it. And as we came to it, there were quite a few in the group that said, oh, we'll just jump over. And they jumped over. But there was a group of people that stood there, anxious, because they couldn't jump over. And they said to me, Pat, I can't. And I said, that's okay. The Lord said, just walk with them. And I said to them, God will always make a way, and he wants you to get over the other side. But don't worry, we'll walk and we'll talk. And they said, how far's the journey? And I said, that depends on you, how long it takes for you to take hold of what God's saying to you. And that's very much part of my ministry. It's walking with people, talking with them, encouraging them, sometimes letting them lean on me, strengthen them. But as we walked and we talked, and I shared with them about the power of God and about identity, about who they were in Christ, to not to look for their own resources, not to look for crutches and things to help them, but to stand strong in him. One by one, they made their way across. Now, they had a way to go to catch up, but it didn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are in the race as long as we're in it, as long as they made their place. And you know, that reminded me of Joshua with the walls of Jericho. The people were called to come and stand and form a huge line. And it didn't matter if they were in the front or the middle or the back. They weren't fighting for position, but they moved and learnt about moving in obedience. And they learnt about being silent, and it's in the silence that we hear. And then as they moved around, they learnt about the obedience of shouting at that moment by the power of the Spirit. And you see, that's what our walk with the Lord is, that we learn to take our place. It doesn't matter where we are, where we're positioned, as long as we're in the line. And as we walk in that line, we learn to listen and to hear and to be obedient. And then the awesome thing is that when we move in the Spirit, we'll see that wall come down. It just crashes. They had no idea. They were very intimidated. They were very fearful of what that wall meant. And you know, many today are fearful of things in their life. Physical things can come upon you, emotional things, financial things, whatever it is. And it can be intimidating and fearful. But if we learn to stand in the Spirit and shout our praise and glorify the Lord, then we'll see the walls come down. God is a faithful God. We need to hold on to hope no matter what, because there is one who is holding on to you. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Then in amongst all of the pain, all of the difficulty, there is a way out. And that way out is in Him. But we need to know our security in Him. If we don't know our security in Him, we'll be taken down. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't feel the pain and we won't ouch, because I do sometimes. And it doesn't mean that we won't weep with the emotional pain. And that's okay, because God understands that. But through it all, that beautiful chorus we sing, through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. Can you say that this morning? No matter what we face, it is well with me. Because God knows the way out. And it's as we have that strength in Him, as we have that security in Him, we can speak to that storm, we can speak to that pain, we can speak to that heartache and say, all is well, Lord, because you hold me. I don't know what my future is, but I know who holds my future. And I'm confident that He will take me through into all that He has for me, no matter what it is that we face. We need to hold on. You know, we're called to be children of God, as I said, Spirit-filled, spiritually aware, spiritually focused, spiritually motivated, being led by the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit, being overcomers in the Spirit, being victors, not victims. But so often we have a victim mentality, don't we? We think, woe is me, how can I ever get out of this? Well, I can't, but He can. He can lead me, He can take me, He can restore me. In the world, things are dominated by fear and pride. But God has filled us with hope and a confidence that cannot be dismayed. We are called today to be all that He wants us to be. When I had that dream about people jumping over and walking and claiming what they had, the Lord reminded me of Psalm 18, 29, where it says that we can run through a loop and jump over a wall. If we have His Spirit, we can do all things in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ loves every one of you. And you know, in ladies, we're going through the wonderful encounter of David and journeying through that week by week. It's just incredible what God shows you as you take time to just go through His word. And we see David was just a 17-year-old boy, but his hope was in God. And right through his life, no matter what came, and he went through a lot of things, David perseveres. But the Bible says David prospered in all of his ways. Why? Because he knew who he was. More than that, he knew who his God was. He knew that God would not fail him, but would stand with him. And if God called him to it, he would go through it. And we need to know that today. Do you know that today? You are more than your name. You're more than your natural birth. You are God's son and God's daughter. You are the ones that God has called you out of darkness into glorious life, that you may show forth His praises. And how can we mirror a God that we are not secure in? God said, You are mine, I have chosen you. And to prove it, he gave his son, who died and then rose wonderfully, powerfully, victoriously, and left us, not orphans, but left us with his Spirit. Do you know the work? Do you know the voice of the Spirit in your life? If you don't, we are miserable. We cannot break through. We need the Holy Spirit. As I said, we are a Pentecostal church. We're Spirit-filled. And if we want to see heaven invade this community, if we want to see God creating change in us and in our community, we need to be living and moving in the Spirit of God. This wonderful Holy Spirit who has come as a comforter, as a sustainer, as a leader, as a guider, and he's as still, gentle as a dove, and yet he is as awesome as fire. He comes as a fire to burn up those dross and the things within our life, but to inflame us with a passion. Is that exciting? Do you want that passion today? I want to live in that passion. I want to know what it means to really be fully alive in him. And that's my striving every day. Every day. And you know, as we focus on the Spirit of God, only the thoughts of God will come into our minds. And very quickly, if other thoughts come, we just kick them out. We say, no, I don't believe that. That's not true. This is what God's word says. And our hearts will be filled with spiritual songs and hymns and praises as we confidently trust in him. Now this morning, if you're hurting in any way, allow God to hear your hurt, your pain. But know that as you tell him, he's not like a human being that listens and thinks, oh, what can I do? He's already got the answer. He's already seen ahead of you. He just wants you to trust. You see, when we don't trust God and when we don't see that, we start to get in and try to fix things ourselves. We get in a flounder and we think we become overcome. This is never going to work. This is never going to happen. But when we trust in God, when we read his word, when we start to see the power of that, we settle down and this peace comes into our heart. It is well with me. It is well with me. Through it all, are your eyes on him? Are your ears open to hear him speak to you? To let him guide you and lead me? And as we heard in communion, his ways are higher than ours. And it's only through the spirit realm that we can even fully understand not everything, but where God's taking us in this moment. Because it's a moment-by-moment walk with him. But we first need to know who we are. Do you know who you are today? Do you really know? Do you really know what it cost Jesus to die for you and to give you this identity in him, that you don't have to worry about in other things in your life, but just focus on who you are, who he says you are. Some people get embarrassed and they say, oh, I can't. Do you know, I heard someone, a Christian, say to me the other day that it's not about unconditional love, it's about faithfulness. No, God loves us unconditionally. Yes, he's faithful, but he loves us unconditionally. And someone else said to me about that scripture, it says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Oh, I can't really say that. That's a little bit out there. It's a bit, I can't dare claim that. Why can't you? It's true. That's not being self-opinionated. That's speaking the word of God. If Christ isn't living in me, who am I? What's my point? What's your point? Can you say that Christ is living within you every moment of the day, whether you make a mistake or not? He's there to show you that mistake and help you to right it. If we don't say he's living in me, we're not professing our faith, and so therefore we'll flounder. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. We need to be fully aware of him living in our life. We need to be fully aware that his will is not an obligation, but that he loved us and called us his own, so that we might mirror his image. And the only way to mirror his image is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your love. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that your word is truth and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Father, that you want us to know and to know and to know who we are in Christ Jesus, Christ in me and me in Christ, the hope of glory, that we live in a resurrected power, that we live empowered by the Holy Spirit to do all that you have called us to do, that, Lord, you've raised us up together and seated us in heavenly places with Christ. How awesome is that? Father, I pray your Spirit might minister that to each heart this morning. And there may be people here who have not really believed fully, that have, like that lady, an awareness of God, but have never received Jesus Christ. And they might be sitting here thinking, what's this all about? I just pray that if that's you, that you'll come and speak to someone after the service. Allow us to share time with you and to pray with you. And for others who need that encouragement and who need to make that stand, they would come and have prayer. But Holy Spirit, stir hearts this morning with the truth of your word. You are forever calling and calling and calling us, and you never give up. And I just pray, Father, that this morning people would let go and let you, would move into that awesome realm and take their position that you have created for them, to be able to be all that they can be through Christ, who died and rose and gave everything for each one of us. Oh, Father God, I just bless you and thank you for your great love that calls us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, you're calling us and loving us because you gave your life for us. And this morning, if you really identify with this word, I would ask you to lift your hands and in your heart say, the Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, empowering me to do what you've called me to do. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, to enable me to do all that you have called me to do, to be all that you have called me to be. I surrender all. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Father, fall afresh, Spirit. Stir hearts to the truth of your word, that we will leave this place different than we came. Even those of us that know our identity would have had a fresh revelation of your power, of your authority, of your anointing, of your grace, of your love, your perfect, perfect love. Oh, bless us each one, Lord, as we wait upon you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.
Let us all stand for to sing the last song.